This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hi, it is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time for TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys. I'm excited to be here, man. It's Thursday, and I get to see and meet some wonderful, amazing people. Who you're asking that I'm talking about? Well, you, of course. Thank you, guys. You have been showing up all year, every Thursday, and I'm so glad that you are. You know how we like to do this before we get started, guys. Before we get started, I'm going to give a huge shout-out, guys, to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, listen, I'm excited to be here this Thursday, and I'm going to tell him, be honest with you, you guys add to my excitement. Yeah, you really do. Each Thursday, you show up. You show up every week, and you're always here watching and listening. And whether you're watching this right now on social media, whether it be Facebook, TikTok, or whether it be LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you're watching this, or maybe you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, whichever one is your favorite podcast or streaming platform, let me take this time to tell you, thank you very much for always showing up and being here. You are absolutely amazing. And if no one told you that today, let me be the first one to say it. I'm so glad that you're here. You just keep showing up. And if this is your very first time coming to the show, your very first time hearing my voice, let me take this time to tell you I appreciate you. And thank you very kindly, guys. I appreciate you. Guys, listen, don't forget to visit, subscribe, share, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. Guys, listen, if this is your first time tuning into the show, whether you are in Japan, whether you're in China, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Portugal, whether you're in Maine, Portland, Maine, or maybe you're in California, maybe you're an East Coast or maybe you're a West Coast, wherever you are around the world, thank you for tuning in to this global podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Guys, listen, it's the month of December. Look over there. Yeah, wait, wrong, pointing the wrong way. There it is, right there. Look right there, guys. It's Christmas time. Guys, and this month is coming to a close. This whole year is coming to a close rapidly, and I'm excited about it. I just turned 56, guys, December the 5th. I'm still celebrating. My family, friends had a wonderful time. But, guys, December is here. The end of the year is almost here. So what does that mean? That means that this episode, this one right here that you're listening to right now, is the final episode of the season. That's right. I'm going to take a little break from doing episodes. Now, it doesn't mean TMG is going away. Absolutely not. It just means I'm going to take a little break after this, come back with some fresh stuff, maybe some fresh look. You know how we do it. Give it a little break. Give you guys a break, everything, because you guys have been rocking and sticking with me, man, for all year long. Give you guys a break. Now, I'll still be posting. I'll still be doing good things, but just won't be streaming any episodes. Guys, but you can always catch every episode from this year, guys, on all your streaming platforms. Now, listen, if you're tuning into this, you know a couple of things. You know a couple of things about this show, that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, well, Travis, listen, man, I know someone that has an amazing story that would be great on your show, but I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shot. What can I do? Go ahead and email the information to us at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And here is another great way for everyone to be a part of the show. Listen, you know how you have those moments that you love to celebrate? You know how you have those good things that happen to you and you just can't let it go? You just sometimes can't seem to find enough people to celebrate and be happy with you, and you want the celebration to last longer? So do we. We call that a tell me something good moment. That's right. Anything you want to celebrate, everything you want to be happy about, all you got to do is send in to us your tell me something good moment to tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And what we'll do is we'll read your tell me something good moment live on the air on the following show. We'll say your name, we'll say your moment, we'll celebrate your moment and with you, and the entire world will be celebrating you. How cool is that? So if you want that celebration to last longer, send it in to tellmesomething21@gmail.com. Guys, listen, I want to go ahead and play the information by our affiliate sponsors, because there's some great information there for you. Holidays are coming up, so I want you to be part of that. Listen up, and if you aren't watching this, just listen up, guys, because you will hear that information. Now, I know how it works, right? Commercials come, you lose interest. Don't lose interest, guys. You're going to want to hear this episode right here. Don't go away, guys. It's just commercials. I'm just getting started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell tech.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right there below in the chat. No, scroll up with your good finger. There you go, right there. It's right there below in the chat. And if you aren't watching this, listen up, because you're going to want to hear it. Now, I know you guys have been sitting on pins and needles and just trying to wonder what the show is going to be about, what the episode of the show is going to be about. Guys, listen, if you did not catch it, today's episode is entitled The Only One in the Room. Yeah, The Only One in the Room. And I know you're wondering, where in the world is Travis going to go with that? Let me start this show off by saying something to some of you, and to if you haven't heard this in a while, or maybe someone has maybe never said this to you. But I want to start the show off today by saying four simple things. I want to start the episode by saying four simple things that maybe no one's told you before. Maybe you haven't heard in a while. But I want to start the show off by saying four simple things to you. And those things are, it's not your fault. If you've ever stood in a room and felt out of place, it wasn't because you lacked ability, value, or even intelligence. It was because the room was built with assumptions that really didn't include how you think, how you process, or how you show up in the world. We've been taught that success means fitting a certain type of model, a way of thinking, communicating, or performing that someone else decided, that someone else, whoever that was, that someone else decided what is normal. And when we don't fit that model, we quietly start becoming and start believing the problem must be us. But what if the issue was never about fitting at all? What if it was all about being seen? Because some rooms don't fail because people inside them aren't capable. They fail because they were never designed to recognize every kind of brilliance that walks through the door. Again, it's not your fault. It has become the mission of my very special guest to make sure that every person is seen, whether the room was created with them in mind or not. Guys, I want you to do me a favor, okay? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to give a huge TMG welcome to the CEO of The Link Tech. Guys, Tia Kletner. Tia, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I was excited to keep hearing you talk. It was such a good intro. You made to start the show.
Man, I'm so glad that you're here. So glad that you're joining us. Tia, where are you at right now in the country?
I am in Seattle, Washington, right outside of Seattle. Nice and rainy today.
Well, it's always raining.
Green and lush for us.
Literally, it's always raining in Seattle.
You know, we get that a lot, but it's really just a few months a year. But I will take it because we are one of the few places where it's green year round. So really? I will not complain about that.
It can't help but be green.
It can't. It can't. We even get forest fires and it's still green somehow.
Man, I'm so glad to hear, man. So glad that you're joining us. To talk about this, the only one in the room. Now, wait, Tia, now you're in Seattle, but is that where you were born?
That is not where I was born. And that's where my only one in the room story begins. So I grew up in an interracial family, the first person of color in my family in the state of Montana, which it's changed. Time it was, you know, predominantly white state, still is, but you'll still, you know, a little bit more ethnicity there. So I was the only one in my high school amongst three high schools. There was three of us African-Americans or black individuals.
Wow. Wait. So when you were coming up, there were three high schools.
Yep.
And in these three high schools, it was three African-Americans. Were they all in the same school? Or was it one at each school?
It was you at one school, me at one. So we didn't even have one at each school.
So you know exactly when we're talking about the only one in the room, till you grew up that. That literally is your life story.
Yep, so, it is.
Wow. So you would go grocery stores as you got older. Grocery stores or the playground. And there weren't very many people that looked like you, or not very many people you could see that had a representation of this side of you, because you grew up in a biracial home. There was always one side of you never represented.
Always. And it it's interesting, too, because it was out in the world. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, the grocery store, school, no matter where I went. But it was also at home, too. So I grew up with the white side of my family. And so even at home, it was still the only one in the room. And there was a lack of understanding a certain half of who I was, and to support that and recognize that and acknowledge it, not just know it's there.
Absolutely. And we're going to bring that point out, what you just did. I see what you did. I like that. Oh, so this is not just something you're making up. This is something you say, man, listen to something, brother. I could tell you a lot about being the only one in the room and what those feelings are like. There's a certain, and being that only person in the room, the only one in the room, and growing up, experiencing that, you learn some things to pay attention to, some things that most people would kind of just overlook. You learn to have a certain awareness about you that most people just kind of go like, you're a little bit more aware of the room and then what's in the room and what's happening in the room than most people would be, because I'm the only one. I want you to imagine this, guys. Imagine you going to a party, Tia. Imagine going to a party and everybody's like, it's like a all blue party. Everybody's wearing blue shirt, blue shoes, blue everything. And you step up in there with a red dress or a red pair of pants on. They're going to ask, did you not get the memo?
Yep. That is one of the best analogies and way to put it, because that's exactly it. And it's funny you say that, because I remember going to parties and stepping in the room, and even like, you know, the attire that I chose to wear, because, you know, that comes from my background, my history, my culture, what I see. And I go in and I'm like, oh, I forgot my cowboy boots. So it's the perfect way to put it. And it was always this, you know, I was expected to adjust and blend and soften who I was or who I wanted to truly be deep down inside. And you're completely right. I learned very quickly how to read a room and nuances of people and individuals and spaces and what that energy was like. And especially at such a young age as a kid, it carries with you.
Yeah.
It carries with you forever in everything you do.
It really does. So that's kind of a certain kind of awareness that forms when you realize you're the only one in the room who experiences the world the way that you do. Like you said, you try to dress the way that, hey, well, I gotta have my cowboy boots on. It sharpens your senses.
Yes.
You know, the things that most people get over their head or they pay no attention to, you're more sensitive to things. It is not that you're overly sensitive. You just become sensitive to things when you're the only person in the room. Certain things don't get past you that easily. You're like, okay, I got you. I see you. And it teaches you how to kind of read people, like you said, read environments and expectations quickly. You know, you pick up on expectations quickly, sometimes too quickly, because you're like, geez, man, that awareness doesn't disappear, as you said, with age or success. It follows you everywhere you go. So I want to say, man, with that being said to you, you know, you've had a lot of questions going through your mind about different things like this, and it made you so aware. When you think back to the moments you felt like, maybe at that party, you felt like you're the only one in a room, not just unseen or even at home, but fundamentally, you said, I'm at home, but kind of unrecognized, you know, kind of unrecognized. So even fundamentally unrecognized, how did those experiences shape the way you now see people who are often overlooked or misunderstood, or have that feeling of, man, am I in the right room? How did that shape the way you see things now with people like that?
I mean, can I just say everything? Is that a reasonable answer? Do you need more than that? Well, it carried with me personally. And It's interesting because my mom had experienced it a lot more than me. So she was dating a Black man who was not accepted at the time. So she has a lot of personal experience to it. Uh-huh. That then rubbed off on me. She never wanted me to experience that. She never wanted to put me through that. Didn't want me to have those moments that were uncomfortable for her and my dad. And now for me, I look at my two kids who are 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different reasons that I do what I do because of them and other people. But I never want them to have to worry about what box they have to check.
Right.
That is metaphorically, but also physically. Like, I remember going to the doctor and be like, do I check Black? Do I check white? Do I check them both? Like, literally, I have to check a box, but also to worry about how they show up when they finally get to the workforce. So I started a staffing agency that focuses solely on how individuals think, letting them be themselves, to operate as themselves, to take their unique lived perspectives and experiences and apply that to a role instead of having to fit a mold that is said to be standard and therefore equitable, but it's really not equitable unless you fit that mold. And not a lot of us do.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, everyone is applying for a job. If you've ever applied for a job, you know, one of the questions they ask on there, what's your race? You know, and I can only imagine the dissonance in your mind of which one do I check? You know, it brought about some cognitive dissonance there for you. Is it this? Is it that? Is it that? And but you know what that speaks to, though, Tia? It speaks to everyday life. We as human beings, as people, we're living and we're walking through this cognitive dissonance of how should I show up in the world? How should I be in the world? You know, my wife and I the other day, we were talking about code switching and not being your true authentic self, having to play this role, having to be this, having to do this in order to fit in. And what we're doing is we're living our lives with this cognitive dissonance. And it frustrates us, T, because we can't really be who we want to be. We can't really be ourselves. And I'm not saying being rude, disrespectful, or no, anything like that. But our true authentic self, we hold it back because we want to fit
right
in the room. Yep. I everybody else is eating chicken, but I don't want to eat chicken. I want to eat fish, but I'm going to do it because I want to fit in the room. Everybody else likes this team, and I don't even like sports, but I'm going to do it because I want to fit in the room. And I wonder, it makes me wonder, T, how many times we've done things and said things and adopted things because I don't want to be the only one in the room. I remember when I was at school and they said, okay, they made an announcement, and they said they made the announcement. Apparently they did. I didn't hear it. It's okay, guys. We're all going to wear orange. We're all going to wear orange shirts one day. I came in blue jeans, and it's a regular button-down. It was like a blue button-down. They looked at me like I was crazy. Did you hear the announcement? Did you not hear the announcement? And that's how life is. We go from job to job, professionally. We go from relationship to relationship with people, whether they're friends or a personal relationship or whatever it is, and we're always trying to fit in the room. Social media teaches us what the room looks like. You know, these applications on these jobs, they all same thing. They all saying, this is what the room is. If you want to get in this room, you got to look like this. You got to act like this. You got to be like this. And people just want to fit in the room.
And it's been, you know, what has been ingrained in us as what's professional, what this should look like, how this should be. And it goes for, you know, just employees and those applying for the job, but also leaders. I think we forget that they also have to fit into a box and into the room to get to their position that they're at. If across the board, we could all just try to understand differences are okay. And actually, a good thing for people and the bottom ROI of a company.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We would all thrive. Everybody would be happy because we do. We hide behind this facade and code switching and masking. And everybody, whether they admit it or not, wants to break away from that.
Absolutely. The more, if I don't know about you, Tia, you lived in Montana, now you live in Seattle.
Yep. So
that means you've moved at least once in your life. Okay. At least once you've moved. And you've packed, when you move, you pack that box and you pack it and you pack it as much as you can in that box. You keep packing. And you pack it so much you can't even tape it closed. It's just open.
Yep.
And that's what happens. We keep packing things and packing things into our lives. And it no longer fits the box anymore.
Yes.
It's open, which means it's now exposed, which means we now have no boundaries. Now everything just gets piled on top of it, and everything gets piled on top of us. And sometimes we see things one thing after the other. It's because we can't close our box because we keep packing more of other people's things on top of us. Everybody else stuff. But this is what you're supposed to do here. You're supposed to say this. And you can't pack your box with what you want to be inside of your box because you're too busy holding everybody else's stuff in your box. And now your box won't even close. You have no boundaries, which means anything somebody has, it's going to land right on top of us. Being the only one in the room doesn't just teach you, also teaches you endurance. You've had to deal with some stuff. You said, man, my mom dealt with worse of it. And I know she caused some hell, man, because she caused some stuff.
Yeah.
You deal with it. You say, I'm not gonna make sure my kids not gonna deal with it. But the only reason you got that lesson from your mom taught you endurance. You said, man, it was three of us that looked like us in Montana, and two was at one school. I was at one school. That means that was one school that didn't have anything that represented us at all.
Nope.
Go to the playground, go to parties, just trying to be a kid like everybody else. And did y'all have each other's phone number?
No, that's the other thing. No, we didn't. Exactly. Yep. So no, we were in our own little islands.
See, now you're isolated. So what that taught you was endurance. It taught you how to deal with, taught you how to put up and to persevere. It taught you endurance. So being the only one in the room teaches you endurance. It also teaches you pattern recognition. Yeah, I see what you're doing. I watch you. I'm watching. It's a pattern recognition. So you start noticing how systems, not people, but systems reward sameness, but they miss potential. Yep. You begin to see how many people aren't failing, but they're simply kind of navigating environments that T was never built with them in mind in the first place. This isn't just personal. It becomes professional. You know, you're trying to navigate social media and TV teaches you what your relationship should be like. So you're trying to fit that model. And when you watch social media and television and movies, it shows you what success is. You have to be this way in order to be successful. You have to be like this in order to apply for this job, but your work centers differently. Your work centers on neurodiversity and helping organizations rethink hiring inclusions. How much of that vision comes from knowing firsthand what it feels like to be evaluated by standards that never accounted for who you actually are?
Yep. A lot of it comes back to, can I just say a lot again? It's so much of my personal experience, but I also had a family member who was told at a very young age he was defiant. He had behavioral issues, was sent away to different group homes and boys camps. And it wasn't until many years later he was actually diagnosed, you know, as being neurodivergent on the spectrum. And so that also has a huge play in what I do, because I witnessed him trying to navigate systems and fit in for so many years when medically he thinks differently. And that's fine. It's not saying he doesn't have brilliance. He's actually one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. But because systems don't measure talent, they measure a template. And it's often about technical skills and who can check the box. And again, keywords matching a description. We now focus on strengths and how someone looks and utilizes those tools instead of just having used them in the past. It shows me how much in these standardized systems, brilliance gets misread. So again, I really focus on in my day-to-day life and work, cognitive rhythm, not just their performance in the moment or what their resume tells you they have done, but what they can do given the right alignment and within a company's specific environment. Once you understand how someone thinks, then you can really see how they can thrive in your specific company.
Tia, that makes perfect sense because we're always trying to find the right fit, the right this, the right that. You know, if you get a brand new outfit, you're trying to find the right shoe. You know, it's always the right thing. And I saw someone once, the first time I saw someone wear sneakers with a suit, it blew my mind. I said, whoa. Well, I kind of like that. And I asked him, I said, why are you wearing sneakers with a suit? You're supposed to wear dress shoes. He said, why? He said, who told you that? He said, why do you have to do that? I said, you're supposed to fit like everybody else. He said, I am fitting.
I was just going to say, who got to choose and define what's right and what fit is?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he told me. He said, who made that rule? He said, well, you are. He said, I wasn't even around when that rule was created.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. He said, he doesn't apply to me. I wasn't even around when that rule was created. And from that day on, it made me realize that sometimes you have to take off your dress shoe. Sometimes you have to put on your sneakers. And maybe right now, Tia, there's somebody who's listening and they've had a tough day. And they've been trying to fit into a model all day long. And they just haven't been able to do it. They've had their dress shoes on. They had their heels on. They had their pumps on all day long, Tia. And they've been trying to fit all day, all week. And you're trying to put your finger on why you just feel so uncomfortable. Maybe it's time to put your good pair of sneakers on. Maybe you've been trying to do everything and be everything everybody else expects you to be. Maybe it's time you define you some comfortable sneakers and wear your sneakers. Maybe it's time to pull off everything else that you've been trying to put on, everything that you've been trying to wear.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is your moment to put on what fits you. Man, I told you this is going to be a good episode, y'all. I don't know why. And we're talking about fit. So that's a great segue that you said that. So we hear the word fit a lot. We hear that word a lot. We hear the word fit. And when I think about fit, I think about a puzzle. You know, a puzzle tells you when you buy a puzzle. And yes, I know many people don't buy puzzles anymore. I get it. I'm 56, guys.
I love a good puzzle.
Yeah, see, when I was coming up, puzzle was a cool thing to have. I get it, okay? Follow me. But a puzzle, when you're buying a puzzle, on the box, it tells you how many pieces are in that box. If it's 500, 1,000, 1,500, whatever, it tells you how many pieces come in that box. And every piece in that box fits. Every piece fits. The word fit, we hear the word fit all the time. It's a culture of fit. When you go to fill an application out, we want to find if they're a great fit for the role. When you go look for a job, they got to be a great fit. When you want a relationship, they got to be a great fit. Fit, fit, fit. Everything's going to be a good fit. And I think about a puzzle. Everything fits in the puzzle. But it's always an organizational fit. Tia, if companies, and we're talking about a fit, right? If companies and people continue to look for what fits, then maybe it's not the piece that's the problem.
Yep.
Because just think about it, T. Before you found me, you already had a piece that was fitting. So if this piece, that last piece didn't fit, and you're still looking for another fit, maybe the fit isn't the problem. Maybe yep. something else is the problem. If you're continuing to do the same thing and you're getting the same results, maybe it's not the piece. And that's what we're talking about today. You're not the problem. The people aren't the problem. And for somebody who's listening right now to you, they've been living their life and living the lie that society and the world has handed to them that they are the problem. You are the problem. Listen, to everybody who's looking for a job right now and everybody who's in a relationship, understand this. If that job, if that company is still hiring, that means they didn't find a fit.
Right.
That means the fit isn't the problem. You aren't the problem. But if fit often means comfort, not capability.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So sometimes people say, we're trying to find the right fit. You're trying to find somebody who's going to be comfortable.
Yep.
Come on. It means familiarity, not brilliance. We're not looking for somebody who's going to really think outside the box. We want somebody who's going to fit right in this box that we already have. Because your brilliance is going to take you outside the box. Your brilliance is going to make you break the walls down from the box. And for people who think differently or who think differently, processes and process information differently, Tia, things like that, words like fit can quietly become a closed door because so I don't fit this. How many jobs and how many relationships we would have entered into, we said, I don't fit. How many things would we would have tried, but we said, I don't fit. How many of our dreams have we laid aside because we said, that don't fit me. It don't fit my culture. It don't fit my background. Nobody in my family did this. It just don't fit. And we believed the lie and we sold ourselves short and we closed our doors on things that would work for us. What about this whole fit thing? You often challenge the idea of the right fit to you.
Yep.
And you replace it with the right person. What happens when organizations shift from trying to make people conform, let's say, to a certain model, instead ask how the model itself might be limiting who gets to belong?
Yeah, I'll start by saying culture fit is one of those terms that really pokes my buttons. It really does. I've ranted about it a couple times, but most fit expectations really come down to habits, how we expect people to present, how we assume a strong performer sounds or behaves, how we're going to gel with this person. I have literally heard, I don't think I'm going to gel with this person. What does that even mean? How is that professional? So when you start to question the model of fit, you start seeing talent that you filtered out. The people's brilliance doesn't announce itself in the expected format. And the issue isn't, just like you said, that these people don't fit in. The model was too narrow to recognize their value. And so that's why I always say it's about the person. It's not about the fit. It's about the person. And it really comes down to, instead of culture fit and sameness, when companies talk about, you know, we need innovation. We need to stay ahead. We need to get ahead of our competitors. You're not going to do that by saying the same.
Yeah.
You need culture add. Fit keeps teams familiar. It's often a form of unconscious bias. Culture adds and expands the capability. That's when you get innovation. It brings in new ways of thinking and operating, and it adds to a company instead of keeping it the same. So when organizations shift from do they fit us to what strengths do they bring to the table, everything and excellence stops looking one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And the whole room becomes more capable.
Absolutely. You know, I like what you said. When companies and organizations begin to say things like, are they a good fit? What about if we say, how can we make them fit if possible, or remove the word fit altogether and just say, how can we include their brilliance?
That's it right there. And that hits your inclusion piece.
Yep. If we can include their brilliance as a company, then we're growing. If we can include their brilliance as an organization, then we're growing. Because if not, we're going to continue to look like everybody else. And we're always trying to find what fits.
Yes.
We're always trying to find what fits. When you find companies that have a high turnover rate, it's because you're still looking for a piece, not a person. Come on. Yep. Come on.
Yep.
You're still looking for a piece, not a person. And there are pieces all over. Again, when there's a puzzle, you throw all the puzzle pieces on the table or on the floor, wherever you're going to put it together. Pieces are everywhere. But there's always one piece that completes the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You can have everything else. But I've always noticed one thing, Tia, when I was putting puzzles together, and every puzzle piece isn't cut the same.
No.
Some squares, round, they're all odd shapes. But I would get the puzzle piece, and it would be the most odd shape I've ever seen. And I said, absolutely no way that this piece goes to this puzzle. Surely, whoever made this puzzle made a mistake. It was always the odd piece that completes the puzzle.
Always. Well, and you think about it too. Could you imagine doing a puzzle where all the pieces were the same? How would that work?
It wouldn't go together.
Exactly.
And that's what I want to tell people right now. You may feel like the odd man out. You may feel oddly shaped, oddly designed. Your life didn't start typical. Your life didn't start storybook. Your life didn't start once upon a time. You didn't have a story beginning, and you're not in the middle of a storybook right now. It all seems like something someone wrote from a drama or from a horror story. Right now, your life may not be the typical design that you would ever think. And you say, that's just absolutely no way anything good could come from this. Absolutely no way anything could happen from this. I can't really be any good to anybody like this. I can't really be good to a company like this. You may feel like you are the odd shape. Let me tell you something right now, baby. The odd shape always completes the puzzle. It didn't get better until you showed up. The box wasn't complete until they added you to it. It doesn't matter what everyone else looks like. It doesn't matter what the other pieces and the other shapes look like. The puzzle, the picture is not complete without you. It can't be. If it's a picture of a tree, it won't be complete without you. If it's a puzzle of a house, it's not complete without you. You are just what someone needs. You are just what a company needs. I know you've been told that you won't. I know you've been told that you're not the one. I know you've been told that you'll never fit. You weren't supposed to fit. You weren't designed to fit. You were designed to complete. That's the problem, Tia. We've been trying to fit, and you'll never fit because you've been designed to complete.
Amen.
See, hold on. Why does everybody say that when they come on the show? Listen. And that's what you've been doing, Tia. You've been teaching people get rid of that fit stuff.
Yep.
You've been teaching people, why are you trying to fit? You're designed to complete stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're designed to complete. And that's what you're teaching people. That's what your business is all about. That's what you've had to learn growing up. When you said your mother wanted to make sure you never had to go through the same things. That's because Tia, she was teaching you that you can bring completeness. Stop right. trying to fit. That's what you do to your kids, Tia. You're teaching them. You just said, I'm teaching them that they won't have to about checking off this box. You're teaching them. Don't worry about checking off boxes. Don't be a box checker. You complete things.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it is. I never, ever want them to even think about a box. There is no box. We're circles. We're circles here.
Hey, we're all going. We complete things. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Inclusion. And we talked about inclusion earlier. And we mentioned that. A lot of times people think inclusion means, well, you know how it is when you have you go out to dinner and they said, well, the room only seats 20 people. And then the 21st person come in and said, well, the room only seats 20 people and we only got 20 chairs. And then number 21 comes in because somebody invited them in the room. And then 21's like, well, dude, I don't have a seat. Then somebody goes, well, we only sit 20 people. The room was only designed for 20 people in mind. But what happens if you get 21 people? What happens if you get 22 people? Well, you're not including me. Well, we'll just get a chair from the back. Well, why get a chair from the back? Why don't you just get a bigger room? Why don't you just design your room bigger? Inclusion isn't about adding chairs to a room. It's about redesigning the room itself.
Mm-hmm.
Make the room expand. It's about changing our perspective. That's what inclusion is about. It's not about, well, I'm just going to shake your hand right now. How about we enlarge our perspectives? It's about changing the room itself. For people who are neurodiverse, diagnosed or not, the challenge is rare. It's kind of rare. Their abilities are there. It's translation. It's understanding. It's being given space to show up fully without having to mask, shrink, or perform someone else's version of you. Tia, when you work with organizations that are ready to change, what does it actually take to help them move from accommodation to that accommodation status, from accommodation to understanding, from tolerance to true inclusion and including the room, enlarging that room for people?
Yeah. Well, first of all, accommodations really just adjust the edges.
Mm.
True inclusion has to be rethought from the center out. So that's the starting point. And oftentimes I get this, that we have this preconceived notion that you have to have a big program, you have to spend, you know, millions of dollars, when it's actually two simple shifts that being inclusive comes down to. One is curiosity. That is the biggest thing. You need to ask, you know, how does this person's mind work? What environments do they work best in? Because curiosity and being open to their response really creates, you know, the psychological safety, and it opens the door to understanding someone's process and how they communicate and how they're going to contribute. So that's the first step. And you didn't spend any money there. You didn't put this huge program into place to be curious. The second one is structure. Now, true inclusion has to be designed through structure long before someone gets hired. It's not after they're hired by implementing ERG groups or offering, you know, DEI workshops, which are great. I think they're important. ERGs create community. But oftentimes when it gets to that point, it's too late. So it has to start pre-hiring and how we interview, how we assess what we, again, think fit is versus add, how we design and define success and whether the environment someone's entering is set up to be curious and celebrate how they think and operate. So that's how I work. I focus on, you know, with the hiring manager, figuring out their leadership style, how they give feedback, what the role is actually going to look like, if it's going to be ambiguous or structured, if they're going to be collaborative or independent. So then I can reverse engineer to find someone who not checks the boxes,
right,
but who is going to thrive under that given environment. So it has to start before we even throw them into a role and hope for the best, hope it works out. Because when you build structure that works around different brains, that's when you build a workplace where people do the best. they aren't just filling a seat. They can actually function at their best. They can belong. They can be included for who they are, not because they have to fit in. And the company sees the ROI with that. You're going to have people who are more engaged. They're going to stick around because you see them. Mm. So hope they work out.
That, and that's the key part. And that, and I cannot overstate this and go back to your lived experiences, just to be seen.
Yes.
To be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, oh yeah, you know, that's Tia. She's the other African-American at the school here. She's Tia. Or, you know, you went from just being that other African-American to Tia.
Exactly.
You grew up being the other African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up in Montana, but I do know if there was only three people that looked like you in the entire state, you were the other one.
I was. Yep. Exactly. The other black girl. I've heard it many a times.
There's three of them. Yeah. She's the, who are they? They're this one and that one. And then there's the other one. She goes to, yeah, that's school. Yeah. That's her. It's Tia. Yeah.
Yep.
And you transition. So you're helping organizations transition from that accommodation. I like what you said. You're just doing just the edges. It's kind of like where you expanding things on the edge there. You say, look, no, get the edges. Let's do it from the center out.
Yep.
Because if we do it from the center out, then all we're doing, we're not really changing anything. You just edging around a little bit, just edging up a little bit. You know, you'll get a haircut. Well, I used to get a haircut. I would say, just edge me up a little bit. You really want to cut the hair? You just edge it up, and that's what's happening. You just getting it, make it look good, little curb appeal.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's making it look good. Yep. See that too often.
We're checking our boxes. There's something powerful though about someone who. There's something powerful about someone who's watching someone take what was once made them feel invisible and use it to build visibility to others. And that's what you're doing. What your company does, you're taking the very thing that almost stripped your voice, made you invisible, made you the only one in the room. And you're taking that and you're turning it around and you're making people feel visible. You could have easily got angry and upset, and I'm pretty sure you had these gambit of emotions that you worked through. You had to, Tia. You're human. You had to. You're a polished speaker. I know you're a polished speaker, Tia, but you're human underneath all the polish. And there were gambit of emotions. You could have easily just fell into those angers, those emotions, and all those things, but you did not. You took the very thing, the system that was designed to say, hey, look, you know what? You know, and you took that thing and you didn't stop at a race or a culture. You said, you know what? Each one of you people out here that felt you were the only one in the room, I got you. Whatever, you, come on, I got you. Because it's you, and you said this earlier, you said it's our differences. And understand this, your differences, it validates the fact that you belong in the room.
Yep. Exactly.
That's what validates the fact that you belong in the room, because you're not like everybody else. So it's something very powerful about watching someone take what was once made them feel invisible and use it to build visibility to others. And that's for others, and that's what you're doing. The only one that in the room doesn't stay in the alone forever. Like you don't stay alone forever, because people are getting attracted to wait, what she's doing. Let me find out, because I felt like that. And there are people right now, Teal, saying, you know, I felt like that. That was me growing up. I didn't grow up in Montana. I grew up in LA, but I felt like the only one in the room too. I didn't grow up in LA. I grew up in Georgia, but I felt like I grew up in Japan. I grew up in South Africa, because this podcast is heard everywhere around the world. So I grew up in a tent somewhere in the Philippines, and I felt like I was the only one. Girl, you talking my language. I know exactly what you're talking about. The only one in the room doesn't stay alone forever. Sometimes they become the reason the room changes. And Tia, you are the reason the room has changed. You've given the room a new look. You've given it a new narrative. And when you give it a new narrative, you're giving it a new direction to go. That's what you're doing. For anyone listening to you who feels like they're still the only one in the room, at work or in their community or in their own mind or in their own home or at work, what would you want them to understand about their value and the role they might play in reshaping the spaces they haven't yet become fully seen in?
Yeah, you'll be told, you know, you're different. You don't fit. And coming back, the call comes back around. You don't fit. And that gives you this thought that you somehow in some way are a deficit. But you are not a deficit. Your lived experience is shaped by being the only one in the room. You will see things others do not. It's like I talked about in the beginning. I know the nuances of how to read people. It may have at the time in my life been frustrating, but now I take that into a boardroom. I take that into a meeting and it's my asset. You are not a deficit. You are the culture add. You are not the culture fit. You are what organizations need. They need that unique perspective, not the same fit, because they won't hit their innovation, you know, buzzword of the year by having the sameness. And so it is not a deficit. You are what individuals, what companies, what your surroundings, whatever that may look like, needs.
I like that. And so is that what you tell when people come into your organization and request, is this some of the things that you tell them also?
Yes, it is. On both sides too. I, you know, tell it to my candidates who are I'm working with trying to fill a role, and why it's important to really lean into who you are. Show that in an interview. You don't need to mask and pretend to be professional, because what does that even mean? It's like the sneakers with the suits.
I wasn't even around when you made that rule.
Exactly. Like, I don't even know what that means. But it's the same thing for, you know, our clients are companies. They bring us in to hire for them. And it's the same thing. We try and reframe what they've been taught and what they've been told and how that's going to benefit them and why it's important to adjust systems. We don't need to have this rigid mold that attracts the same person over and over again. You interview the same way every single time. You're going to pull out the same type of thinking pattern, the same type of person. You could have a role that they're going to be by themselves and, you know, isolated, independent contributor. But because your interview process is so outgoing and loud and you're not adjusting, you're always going to pull out someone who wants to be collaborative. There's already a mismatch right there. And so it's really important to tell everybody. So we're training both sides of the table.
Now, I want to show people how to get in contact with you, Tia. Because I know there are people who are listening who need a job, looking for a job, and they want to know where can they go to help get employment, help find a job, and look for employment. This right here, this is your contact information right here. It is Tia Kleckner. And your website is thelinktech.com. Yeah, guys, the word the, then link tech is linktech.com. So the, T-H-E, link tech, linktech.com, thelinktech.com. And you can also email them at info@thelinktech.com. Again, that's info@thelinktech.com. That's where you can email them. That's where you can contact them. on that. So let me see if I pull up your website here, Tia, before we get out of here. I want to be able to pull it up real quick. I want people to be able to see what your website looks like so they can see it here. There we go. Let me do the magic of technology. And boom, we are there through the magic of technology. So thelinktech.com, guys, there it is. There's right there. As you can see, here's the home. We can get to see everything about it. In the about section, this is a great way to learn about their mission, what they're doing. Let me go ahead and sip all these cookies. There we go. So it's a great way to learn about the organization, who they are. LinkTech started with a simple idea. Hiring should be better, smarter, more human, and actually built to last. Born from a mix of deep industry knowledge and a few too many. There's big guys. This is great. Look at that. I love the I love that picture. I see what you did with that picture. I see what you did. I see what you did. I see what you did to yourself. And it's a great way right here. You guys, look at it. See, there's their mission. You're ready to learn their mission here. The diversity is right here on the front page. Look at that. Love that. Even the different color shirt. I see what you did, Tia. I see.
That's one of my favorite pictures.
I see different color shirts too. I see what you did. I see what you did over there. And it's a great way to contact them right here, of course. You can reach out to them by phone, guys, by email. Right there, guys. There you go. Great way to reach out to me. You can do a one-on-one chat. And look, there's Tia right there. There's Tia. That big smile, guys. There it is right there. So there you go, guys. Great way to get in contact with Tia and her team with at The Link Tech, guys. So Tia, I'm so glad that you're here. So glad you came. I appreciate you. I hope it's not going to start raining over there for you guys, because I know it does that.
It probably already is. I can't see. It's still dark, but it probably is.
There you go. So I know you're in Seattle, right?
Right. Yep.
All
right,
so, well, I'm not going to mention that football team you have there at all. I'm the opposing team, San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah,
so,
I remember talking about that.
Oh, yeah, I told you. So, good NFC West battle. Tia, thank you so much for being here. Hold on a few minutes, Tia, if I get you out of here. Thank you. So, tell your husband, your kids, I said thank you for allowing you to join the show, Tia. I like them for that. Appreciate you, my friend. Good looking out.
Thank you.
Guys, I told you today's episode was going to be good. Being the only one in the room can feel isolating. It can feel heavy. It can feel exhausting, but it can also be instructive. It can teach you how to see what others miss, how to recognize brilliance that doesn't announce itself. You were never the problem. It's not your fault. The room just wasn't ready. And sometimes the people who felt invisible the longest are the ones who end up building spaces where no one else has to. This isn't about fitting in. It's about being seen. And it starts with knowing this. It was never your fault. Guys, I want you to do me a favor this week. Here's a challenge I want everybody to do this week. Here's your challenge. Think about one room, just one room. Think about one room in your life, work, community, family, wherever it might be. Holidays are coming up. Think about that. Maybe you feel like the only one in the room during the holidays. So think about that one room and where someone might feel unseen or misunderstood. Ask yourself what it would look like to truly see that person, not just the role they occupy. Share this episode with someone, God, who needs to hear it. Leave a review so the message reaches the people who've been quietly carrying the belief that they're the problem when they never were. And if today's conversation sparks something in you, check the show notes, guys. Reach out to Tia Kleckner. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, in party, guys, listen, you can stream every episode, guys, every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. Or guys, back here, you can stream right here on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and so many more. Now, you know, don't forget, this is the last show of the season. Guys, I won't come back until January. TMG is not going away. We're just taking a break. Guys, thank you for rocking with us all year long. Man, you guys have been with us all year. Thank you so much. And whether you say Merry Christmas, whether you say Happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is that you celebrate, or if you celebrate anything at all, take the time to celebrate yourself if you do nothing else. I got to get out of here, guys. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I got to get out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.